morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in the studios of WMOT-FM. Our guests today are Dr. Lori Witherow, who's the director of the Academic Support Center here at MTSU, and Vincent Windrow, who is the director of Intercultural and Diversity Affairs. And we're talking about a grant that they received from the Tennessee Board of Regents for 3 years that will help them with a project called the Generation Next Living Learning Community. And we're going to find out what that's all about today. Welcome and congratulations on getting the money.
Thank you. We're really happy to have it because we know that it's going to benefit the students of Rutherford County and Davidson County specifically.
Okay, this is your chance. Tell us what the project is all about and why does it target Rutherford and Davidson County students specifically?
Well, we know that living on campus increases a student's chance of graduating from MTSU by about 10%. If a student lives with us in the first year rather than off campus in an apartment or even at home with mom and dad, they have a much greater chance of graduating from the institution. We also know that Rutherford and Davidson County students have the option of living at home. They already have connections to the community. We feel like if we can encourage them to live on campus, we can make them part of this community rather than hanging on to the ties that they had when they were in high school.
Why do commuter freshmen have a difficult time getting adjusted to college in that first year? Is it just the culture shock, never having left mommy and daddy before, or is it in unfamiliarity with the campus bureaucracy? What are some of the reasons or the things that they encounter as a freshman that they might find confusing or intimidating?
I think it's lots of things. And it is the ties that they still have with high school friends and with neighborhood friends. They don't go through the transition, I think, that students from far away do when they come to live at MTSU. They break ties a little bit. Local students have to try to manage becoming part of a new community and still having strong ties to their old communities.
Rutherford and Davidson in particular, but why not say, you know, Wilson or Cannon, which are also right next to Rutherford, adjacent to Rutherford County?
We will certainly encourage and try to recruit from other contiguous counties. We were looking at Rutherford and Davidson because that's where we get the bulk of our students.
Okay. And I imagine that the per capita income of some of the parents in Rutherford and Davidson is a little bit larger than that of folks in Wilson and in Cannon as well. But if you get more money, you could conceivably expand it to those other adjacent counties, right?
Well, we'd love more money.
any time, huh? What is the role of Vincent Windrow in all of this? Where does Intercultural and Diversity Affairs fit in?
Well, Vincent Windrow is a happy observer to the magnificent work that Dr. Witherow is going to administrate. Intercultural and Diversity Affairs is very excited to be engaged in this living learning community. This is one of the major reasons. We believe that everyone wants to matter. Now, mattering means that we want MTSU to matter to them, and we want them to know that they matter to MTSU. And so one of the basic tenets of interculturalism or diversity affairs is to make sure that we draw the circle wide enough to include all people. So to be included in such a wonderful endeavor means that we get to become part of the dialogue and about breaking down some barriers, mm-hmm. And widening some boundaries and creating some dialogue between people.
Okay. Are these all going to be first-generation college students? Do you have to be a first-generation college student to be involved in Gen Next?
Not necessarily. We are actively recruiting first-generation students, and certainly students who have a zero family expected contribution, so that their family's incomes are lower and the financial aid would be expected to pick up a larger portion of that. As part of this grant, we are using some of the money to pay for the $300 housing prepayment that's expected of students when they apply for housing. I understand the rules and why that prepayment is due, it's so that students don't hold a spot from another student who would want to have housing. But the prepayment is due at a time before financial aid is available to students. So for some students, that's prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we wanted to use part of the money from the grant to offset some of the cost of housing, and especially that prepayment that's due before financial aid disperses.
Is this going to begin in fall 2010?
Yes, it is. Okay. We're already actively recruiting students.
Okay. How are you doing that? Are you reaching out to the high schools, or how are you going about making sure they know about this, that there's this opportunity available for them?
A couple of different ways. One, we've contacted the high schools in both Davidson and Rutherford County. We've contacted the principals. We've contacted the guidance counselors. We've sent out literature. We've put it on Facebook. We are engaging students as they come for custom. So we tried to establish a very comprehensive way to reach out and engage the students.
Okay. Now, I understand that they will have to be enrolled in University 1010 and Communications 2200. What do those two courses involve?
Well, the students in the Generation Next Living Learning Community will enroll in the University 1010 class, a freshman seminar, where they become a part of the MTSU community. They learn all about MTSU, some of its history, some of our current culture, how to use our library, how to study, how to take notes in class. It's a very good course, and it will be taught by a faculty member who will live in the building with them. She will have an apartment on the first floor of Cummings Hall. They will all live in Cummings Hall. She will teach their class in the building in a technologically amazing classroom that's available in Cummings Hall, and she'll also have an office there. Students are also going to take an experiential learning class together, mm-hmm. and that's another way that Vincent's involved in the program. The students will do community service, especially with our partner, Hopgood Elementary School, mm-hmm. because we expect that this learning community will change this generation and will allow them to become, not only to become part of the community, but also to give back to the community. And that's where that piece comes in.
Do we know who the faculty advisor in Cummings Hall will be yet?
Her name is Erin Reberg. She is a dance faculty member and very excited about the program.
Is she new?
She is new.
Okay.
She is new. She's young. She's very excited. She wants to interact with the students and be with them. It takes a special faculty member to agree to live in a residence hall, to sort of go back in time and start over again, living in a community setting. Of course, she'll have her own apartment. She won't be on the floor with the students, but it is a different experience.
How many total students do you anticipate being a part of Gen Next?
We hope for this year to have 50.
Okay. And are you going to make it just as they come or as they get enrolled, or are you going to try to achieve a balance between men and women in different ethnicities, or is it just first come, first served?
Ideally, we would want a balance. We would want this community to look a lot like the MTSU community. Mm-hmm. But we are striving to encourage students who might not have the opportunity. So first-generation students, certainly low socioeconomic students, we definitely want to encourage them to be part of the program, and anyone for whom the $300 would make the difference. And we think there are some students out there that even that little bit of money will make the difference between them being able to come to MTSU and live on campus, or maybe not being able to take advantage of that opportunity.
So that means you guys also have to work closely with admissions, right, to make sure the admissions people know to tell the Rutherford and Davidson County students who apply, who might not be aware of the Gen Next opportunity, that this is an option they have available to them.
Yes, Dr. Michelle Arnold is our contact person and our partner in admissions. None of this could have happened without all of her hard work.
Where did the idea for this come from? Is this being done by other colleges? Do you know, or is this something that originated right here at MTSU?
Although it has gained, living learning communities have gained a heightened degree of popularity over the last several years. It's been a very integral part of some universities dating back at least to the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so we already have existing living learning communities here on campus. This one is a little bit different, but it's certainly not going to be short of any resources. And we are excited about this opportunity. Another reason why is because these students bring something to the table as well. And so we have established this infrastructure and these programs and this residency piece, but they bring something. And I don't know if I want to call it a laboratory, because laboratory means, you know,
experimentation.
Yes. But the key is that the students in this community, they will be the scientists. They will be those who are experimenting with each other as they come together in this cohort. They will be able to talk about their classes, the ones they take together. And so this experiential experience is just going to be an awesome thing for them.
Is this analogous to, say, honor students living together in an honors dorm, or all the kids who speak one foreign language living in a dorm, and part of the rule for being in the dorm is they have to speak, you know, at least conversational French or conversational Spanish to each other while they're living in that dorm? Is it that kind of a community experience?
It will be that sort of community experience. I think what will make it different is the advisor in residence. I think that is definitely a new twist on living learning communities we haven't had at MTSU before. We have a faculty in residence program in our music living learning community, where one of the music faculty members lives in the building in Monahan Hall with the students who are involved in that major. But this will be the first time that we have an academic advisor living in the building who's there to serve the students. Ideally, she will serve all 400 students in the building, but this core group of 50 will be her main focus.
Mm-hmm. Are there special activities other than these two classes that you have in mind for the Rutherford and Davidson students in Cummings to participate in as part of Gen Next during the fall as they're getting acclimated?
Sure. Dr. Witherow has already alluded to the partnership with Hobgood Elementary. Mm-hmm. And whatever one the programming piece will be, it will be directed towards having the students become engaged, not becoming segregated, but being given full access to whatever else is available on campus. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure that they're supported, to make sure that, one, they understand that they are significant in this partnership, and that they belong here, they have a sense of belonging, and they have a sense of influence, not only on the cohort, each other, but also on the campus as well.
Okay.
And so there will be programming developed specifically to meet and fulfill those needs.
Academic programming, social events, and they will all take place.
Sure.
And then at Hobgood, what will that interaction be like? Will they be performing? Will they be engaging with the students, or what will they be doing at the elementary school?
A couple of different things. The word engagement that you use is a great one. They will be participating in a reading program. They'll be volunteering for field day activities. They will have a presence there. And it's all a part of the give back, which we believe that citizenry is so very vital to producing the type of graduates that MTSU has consistently and continuously produced.
But you don't have to be an education major in order to participate in this.
Absolutely. We've drawn the circle wide enough to include all majors to make sure that they understand the necessity of giving back.
Where do you see this going as you look down the road? How do you see if it achieves the retention goals and the other goals that you're looking at? How do you see it expanding possibly in the future?
We do have a 3-year grant, so we know that the program will live that long. My hope is that MTSU will see the value. We will be able to produce retention numbers that show that this sort of programming and this sort of interaction with students supports them in a way that they can continue at MTSU and achieve their educational goals. If that's the case, I believe that MTSU will support this program, and we can even expand and have more advisor in residence. It's a new use of resources. But it doesn't necessarily have to be new resources. We could reallocate some of the advisors we already have on campus. Housing has been a terrific partner and is willing to pick up throughout the life of the grant the cost of having those apartments used by our advisors. So we know that we have the resources at MTSU. If we can show the value of the program, we believe it'll live a long time.
Will it require more grants in the future? In other words, would it require a renewal of the grant from TBR after the three-year period? Or is there a way in which this can become self-sustaining? Because it seems to me that the costs factor in this is actually quite minimal. It seems to be really cost-effective.
I think it is cost-effective. And the Access and Diversity Grant that TBR has put together, they were really smart about the way they did it. It is a three-year grant, but it's heavily weighted on the front. Each year, MTSU has to pick up a larger and larger percentage of the cost of the program so that by the end, we'll be able to show that we can stand on our own feet if we see the value in the program.
Okay. There's this situation where there might be even a possibility for some kind of federal match or additional grant from, you know, the feds or from institutions. I'm trying to think of the word. What is it? What is the word
like for foundations?
Foundations. Thank you for endowments from foundations and things like that.
Well, the taste of success at writing this grant together has sort of encouraged us to go out and look for other sources of money. Tennessee's struggling right now. Mm-hmm. Higher education all over the country is struggling, and we need to be more creative about where we look for funding.
Getting a grant is a wonderful thing, but I think a lot of people don't know what it goes into to write a grant proposal. There are actual courses and classes written on how do I write a grant proposal, and you have to be careful about the kind of language you use and everything. Talk about that process and how meticulous you had to be in just finding the right words that would convince the people you're applying to that this is a worthy project, and it will be worth the expenditure of funds.
Well, MTSU has a wonderful Office of Sponsored Programs, and their purpose is to support people like Vincent and I who are writing grants so that we can follow each and every guideline so that we can hit every mark and make sure that everything in that grant application was covered. So we got together and brainstormed and wrote and got this grant together, but then the great folks in Sponsored Programs looked it over, helped us develop our budget, helped us to make sure that every T was crossed and every I was dotted so that we would be eligible, we wouldn't be kicked out of the grant process for a technicality. And we were very pleased. It was it's sort of a unique program, so we were happy. It's not just bringing a speaker in, it's not just doing some sort of faculty development, but it's something that will impact students every single day the whole time they're here.
And I think this program and similar programs are just really, really reflective of the progressive stance that MTSU has established as it relates to making sure that, one, we recruit students, but also that we retain them, that we help influence their matriculation on through graduation. So and that we can look at them and be proud. They can look at us at MTSU, the institution, and be proud. And I just think this is another example of where this university continues to head.
You can crunch the numbers, and the empirical evidence is there that nationwide that the reason a lot of people drop out in their freshman year is because they just couldn't handle the adjustment situation. But do either of you have any anecdotal information of students who come to you like as freshmen and said, look, I'm really struggling here, or as sophomores, they said, you know, I almost dropped out my freshman year. I really struggled. I wish somebody had been there to tell me the things that I had to learn just by going through it all.
I have case after case of students that's happened to, and we have all sorts of programs and all sorts of classes at MTSU that help with the adjustment, but I think it's having one person that you know cares about you, that you can go to when the need arises. University 1010 is a wonderful class that helps with adjustment, but it sort of that class and the orientation gives you all the information at once. But maybe you won't need that for two or three semesters and you've forgotten. So if you have one person at MTSU that you know, you connect with, and you know that that person cares and can find you an answer if they don't have it, I think that's the difference between success and failure sometime. And I hope that this advisor in residence can be that person for this group of 50.
And in that faculty advisor in residence not only has to know the discipline she's teaching, but she also has to know, in order to be that go-to person, the University 1010 information. She has to know the university bureaucracy. She has to be schooled on, you know, where they can go to get good deals on books, where they can go to pay their fees. All of these little things that you just don't know until you get here, and you don't hit the ground running, really. You just find these things out as you plod along and walk from place to place as a freshman, unless you've taken University 1010, mm-hmm. or unless you have somebody who went here before you, like a brother or a sister or a good friend or somebody like that. And it can be really kind of a scary thing. And then you have to concentrate on your classes. Oh, just incidentally, you have to concentrate on your classes. You know, never mind everything else. When this idea formed, what did you guys think about when you were trying to hash out how to make it work? Was there a committee from people from different parts of campus, or did the two of you just sit down and thrash out the details on your own?
We're good, but we're not that good. We had a whole group that came together from admissions, from financial aid, from advising. Vice President of Student Affairs has been enormously supportive. And that brain trust got together to talk about how we can best support this group of students, how we can best write this grant for chance of success. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of people help us.
Any particular reason Cummings Hall as opposed to any of the other dorms? Were all the other dorms booked up already? Or
Cummings is newly renovated. It is beautiful. And there's a classroom in the building. Mm-hmm. We definitely wanted that. Cummings has the apartment that would be available to the faculty member, so that was good. And it's across the street from the advising center, so that makes it a really great location for students. Mm-hmm. And they'll get to see the new student union go up. Mm-hmm. So what an exciting place for them to be.
Does it make you wish that you guys had had something like this available to you when you were freshmen in college?
Absolutely. But in the 1920s, when I was here at MTSU, I don't think the idea had really germinated yet.
He's not that old.
But absolutely, I think the opportunity that these types of programs, and especially this program, presents to the students, I think it's fabulous. I really do. And no one is running it per se. Even the professor in residence, she is not alone. But again, just as the idea came into being based on the contributions of a campus-wide initiative, she will have at her disposal additional resources as well. So she doesn't have to know everything, but there are some people who will know what she needs to know and what she needs to transfer to the students. And so this is the type of initiative that other offices and departments can sink their teeth in as well.
Now, I don't know the faculty advisor in residence. I don't know how many sections she's going to be teaching, but how is she going to be able to juggle teaching her classes and advising these 50 students, indeed the whole total of Cummings Hall, to a lesser degree? Is she getting any help in that regard, teaching one less section than another professor might teach their first year, or that kind of thing?
We grabbed her from the adjunct faculty pool. So what she's going to do will be teach the two sections of University 1010 in the fall. Mm-hmm. She's also going to teach one dance class in the fall and do choreography. mm-hmm. for the dance program here. Mm-hmm. Then in the spring, when there's less of a classroom commitment for the grant, she'll be teaching more dance classes. So in the spring, she would just be working with the one credit experiential learning class with Vincent and I, mm-hmm. helping her. And then she'll be able to do more of the dance mm-hmm. in the spring.
Now, does she move up from adjunct to full-time as a result of that, or does she remain in adjunct status?
Our grant paid for a half-time professor. So in addition to the half-time work with the grant, she will be adjunct professor in dance.
Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some changes that are going on with Vincent's office, just for a second, because your assistant director, Valerie Avent, is becoming the assistant director of the new June Anderson Center for Women and Non-Traditional Students.
Sure.
And Tech Woobney is leaving as director of his office, which means that the role and the mission of Intercultural and Diversity Affairs is changing and growing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. We've been provided an outstanding opportunity to provide services to a wider range of students. Traditionally, Intercultural and Diversity Affairs, whether it was Minority Affairs, whether it was Multicultural Affairs, and now Intercultural and Diversity Affairs, it has largely focused on domestic cultures and ethnicities. Now we've drawn the circle even wider to include the international student population as well. And so we are just very excited and eager to meet those students and to continue to expand our existing programs to include them as well, whether it's the campus scene, whether it's the parade of flags, whether it's Rep Your Roots Day. What our desire is not to place cultures and ethnicities in silos, but again to provide them the access, the total access that the university makes available to all students. And so what we don't want to do, and what we will be careful not to do, is to sequester them or segregate them, but mm-hmm. bring them into the fullness of the student experience here at MTSU.
That's right. Some places like to say that they are fully inclusive, but when you get to them, you find out that they are inclusive only in the fact that people who of different ethnicities are welcomed, and then they end up as the other in pockets.
Absolutely.
And you're trying to avoid those pockets.
Absolutely. The experiences of others helps the experiences of all.
Mm-hmm.
And the our 2010-2011 theme for our office, which will become Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center, is all in and all out.
Mm-hmm.
We want to include everyone in to benefit from the programming and from the dialogue that we'll develop and create. But also we want them all out, meaning that we want to influence their retention, we want to encourage their persistence, and we want to clap for them mm-hmm. as they walk across the stage at graduation.
And part of that is that the international students will need some help with the logistical aspects of dealing with INS issues, whether they're here on a student visa or, you know, all the technical things that need to get done, in addition to maybe some English as a second language courses. And so your office is really broadening its scope in a lot of different ways.
Our portfolio has been expanded to a large degree, but again, this is not a one shop operation. Again, mm-hmm. we're in partnership with the entire campus on making sure that our constituency, that they feel like they belong
mm-hmm.
and like they matter, and like MTSU is on their side, and that mm-hmm. it will walk alongside of them as they journey throughout their academic career.
And it's also part of the president's mission of internationalizing
Absolutely.
The campus, making us all more global citizens in the learning community.
Sure.
Because we all learn from each other, and being trapped into niches doesn't really give us the opportunity to be the best person that we can be.
Diversity just doesn't apply to or refer to color or culture or ethnicity or gender. There's diversity in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And in this booth, there is diversity because we come from different places, different
intellectual
perspectives.
Diversity, Absolutely. Ideological
sure.
diversity.
So in sharing, I believe that we knock down walls. Mm-hmm. I believe that we, again, draw the circle wide enough to include other ideas, other mm-hmm. ideals, mm-hmm. other theories, other philosophies, and other ways of living that previously mm-hmm. we wouldn't be privy to. And so I believe all of us are enriched even the more.
Okay. If you want to find out more about the Gen Next Living Learning Community, our main topic today, Dr. Witherow's email address is lwitherow, without the W on the end, lwitherow@mtsu.edu, and her phone number is 615-898-2339. You are an 898 prefix, right?
I am.
You don't know on this campus until you ask. Vincent Windrow, Dr. Laurie Witherow, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget that you can catch the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.
Thank you.